Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for inviting us today to share with you the message for this morning. First of all, we're going to introduce ourselves and share some general experiences about our talk service with the Mennonite Central Committee, and then I will let Oscar to continue with the biblical meditation. We are a family of three members, Oscar and myself. My name is Liliana, as it's right in there. We were born in Colombia, a beautiful tropical and small country located in South America. And we are the parents of a very nice and funny son named Oscar Cito, or Oscar Junior, who was born in Curitiba, Brazil, 7 years ago. We've been married for almost 13 years now, individually, and then as a couple, officially married. We have attended for more than 15 years two different Anabaptist churches in Colombia, the Colombian Mennonite Church in Teusaquillo, and the Brother in Christ Church, both located in Bogota, capital city of Colombia. Oscar and I met at Mencoldes, a Mennonite non-governmental organization and MCC historical partner based in Bogota, while working together in a humanitarian program assistance project for IDPs, or internal displaced people, direct victims of the historical armed conflict in Colombia. Oscar has a background in law, human rights defense, and also biblical studies. So at that time, he was in charge to providing all the legal and administrative assistance to help the internal refugees know their rights, document their stories, and go through the official instances to demand their protection and justice to the state of Colombia. That meant not only openly expose their lives to seek individual justice or reparation, but also raise the voice to ask for persecute the oppressors and force them to stop the violence. My role in the same project, in Mencoldes, was mainly focused on accompanying the newcomer families, mostly women and children, transit their challenges and facilitate different therapeutic scenarios to process their traumatic experiences individually and collectively, based on the principles of the psychosocial approach, a combination of techniques of clinical psychology in mental health applied to the social context of human rights defense. As Christians involved in a humanitarian crisis that size in our own country, we were strongly committed to become one of these. We were strongly committed to become one with the one in suffer, with the one in pain, with the ones in danger, with those who survived extreme violence or even death. However, over the years, listening, documenting, and processing such difficult stories of our own history, we started to feel overwhelmed and emotionally weak, exhausted, and restless. At that point, we were ready to stop along the way and seek opportunities to do something different and to find inspiration and new forces to embrace life with hope and dignity. As many of you may know, MCC is a global nonprofit organization that strives to share God's love and compassion through relief, development, and peace building in all programs. In all programs, MCC are committed to relationships with local partners and churches. Their needs guide their priorities. MCC works in every continent in the world except Antarctica and Australia. También. Oh, thank you. We learn and share 3 years of intense experiences working on issues of prevention of violence against women, peace building, and psychosocial and legal support women victims of domestic violence. We had the beautiful experience of being part of a larger church organization that promotes in its programs the principles of peace, compassion, and nonviolence in many parts of the world. Our beloved son also was born there, and we experienced the beautiful welcome of the local community upon his arrival in a country different from ours. This experience of service in MCC program abroad motivated us to continue knowing its scope and possibilities. After 3 years of service in Brazil, we applied to a new position and were warmly invited to serve at MCC Mexico within the leadership team from summer 2013 until the summer 2018, last year. Our experience as MCC country representatives was equally nutritious, inspiring, and intense. We are strongly convinced of the important mission that MCC carries out in its international program, and it's committed to build long-term relationships and partnerships with local entities for the generation of their own capacities and empowerment. MCC works with partners through the Mexican country. And we have, MCC Mexico has partners in the south part, in the center, in the center north, work with low German communities and partners in the north border. The MCC Mexico supports its local partners with financial and personal resources, short-term and long-term service workers and SALT participants in the following areas of work. Migration and resettlement, and it's in green because that was one of the areas we worked along the 5 years with the project in Mexico. Food security and sustainable livelihood, education and health, especially with low German communities, conservative communities in Chihuahua and Durango. Peace building and conflict resolution and prevention, strengthening the participation of the churches and civil society in the peace building process in Mexico, and mutually transformative relationships through learning tours and exchanges. We have arrived in Montreal 4 months ago, and we are no longer serving with MCC International Program for the moment. However, we wanted to share a brief of our last decade of experiences with all of you because it is part of our common identity as Mennonites, as human beings, as Christians committed with the peace-building, nonviolence, hospitality, solidarity, equity, service. So we are very glad to join you and being part of this community here in Montreal, while we can. So we are very happy to meet you and integrate step by step to the community as long as possible in the following years. We came here to study, in my case, a 1.5 year technical program and see the possibility of settling in this beautiful country in the near future. Our purpose as a family is to find in this country a safe place, a peaceful place to live and raise our son. And also be able to put our gift, talents, and experience at the service of this community.
Thank you for this opportunity. I will name this preach, probably my English is not good, Saint naming, reconstituting. Reconstituting.
Reconstituting.
Saying, saying, naming, and reconstituting. Thank you. The way of salvation. I have some pictures, but we don't have time, so just go in front. Do you know who is Jean Mens?
Jean Mens.
Jean Mens. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Marguerite
Bourgeois.
Uh-huh. And or Judith Jasmine. Uh-huh. All right, perfect. Now, do you know who is Louis de
Bois?
What?
Bois.
Louis de Bois? Comte de Frontenac? Louis de Bois, Comte de Frontenac? Yeah, that's a nice station. Holy station. Do you know who is James McGill?
Yes.
McGill, thank you. or Oscarcito, help me. Honoré Bougrain. Excellent. I don't know much history from Montreal, but you write. Just for today, I will say I can see one big difference between them, men and women that I show you with their names. The names of the men appear in the metro station in Montreal. The second one, not. Or at least, those names are not at a wall of the fame into the metro station where I saw, and then I took some pictures. Okay. There are people who have their names at the metro station, usually men. But a good news we have. I believe actually there is a plan to use the women names in the future metro station in Montreal. Why only men names? Okay. Well, this is just an illustrative part into the main reflection that I would like to share with you this morning. Just an example. So let's go to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verses 9 to 15. The title is at the official Bible is The Conversion of Lydia. So probably it's a woman. In the New Testament, we find followers of Jesus. Some who are famous or popular, and others not. Others who, although they have done great things during their lives, for some reasons, they are not so popular or even named. The whole Bible, it is almost plenty of these cases from people who is not named. The followers of Jesus in the New Testament and his time, their time, it seems that some who are the followers of Jesus, some of them are famous or popular, and others not. For some reasons, they are not so popular or even named. It seems that there is a common characteristic for all of them, the followers of Jesus. They were simple people. They were, for example, carpenters, fishermen, a dealer in purple cloth, the sick, women, etc. Act of Apostles 16 bring us Lydia. She is a woman, of course, and she appears into a positive story. This is not very common in the Bible, particularly when it's about women taking part in a positive situation. You know, there are various models of biblical interpretation. About Lydia, we find different interpretations or points of view too. For example, the doctrinal approach, like canonical authority, the positivist historical exegesis, thank you, objective, and liberation model. I will use the last one. I have arguments for that, but there is not enough time to share them. I don't have strong English, and this is not the best moment to do it. Just trust me. As a Fiorenza is a writer, Schussler, Fiorenza Schussler, says, intellectual neutrality is not possible in a world of exploitation and oppression. Anyone here who wishes to read further of this on this topic can see the excellent book called In Memory of Her, Elizabeth Schussler Fiorenza. So, generally, women are not named and recognized in our history. Our system generally is patriarchal or, more complex, androcentric patriarchal mindset of Western culture. This system has at least three major ways to make women invisible. And here, I'm not even including the issue of different forms of violence against women. First, do not name them, or to do so very superficially, as in the example of Lydia. Second, do not say anything. invisibilizing them to not leave records or names. And the last one, make determinations based on the interpretation of a single official and taking patriarchal point of view, where a woman is just considered as an object and not as a subject. Not a subject. Many women in Latin America read the Bible under the suspicion. This is because the Bible has often been used as a mechanism of oppression of them. So, as Fiorenza say, intellectual neutrality is not possible in a world of exploitation and oppression. Returning to the act of the apostles, there is not discussion of the world conditions or Lydia's life. It's the same with the other women. The details of women's life seem unimportant. The text says that the city where Lydia lives is a colony of Rome. Jesus was persecuted by the Roman Empire. His followers were persecuted and executed by the Empire. Pablo and Silas were imprisoned for announcing the liberation, and they were considered enemies of the Empire. Then, in the middle of that Roman colony, there is a group of people like Lydia, who is a worshipper of God. Lydia is a hard-working woman and apparent leader of a community who are worshippers of God. And being a worshipper of God and meeting Paul was very dangerous for her. But she does it anyway and then invites him to her house. This is even more dangerous in that context. So Lydia is a worshipper of God, a hard worker, and a leader, and a very brave woman. Very brave woman. She is a follower of Jesus. And this means going against the power of the Rome, and the oppressors. The act of being a worshipper of God, the act of meeting with Paul, who after that was stripped of his clothing, beaten with rods, and thrown into the prison, and inviting him to her house were real prophetic acts. And that was very dangerous. To end, I believe the text speaks about to the issue of justice for women. The story invites us to recognize them as a subject, not only as objects or receptors. I believe the text invites men to free themselves from the constraints of patriarchy. I believe the text invites us to think of salvation in terms of recovering the historical memory of women and the main role that they have developed. The Bible invites us to create a world that operates under the principle of equity. Although equity is not necessarily equality. Not at the least in terms of the current system. I believe that the text strongly recommends that we recover the name and roles from women invisibilized in our society. The history of the names of the metro stations is only a very small example. Thank you.